So in the last 14 days, the U.S. government quietly pushed for peace negotiations in Eastern Europe. A bipartisan coalition suddenly balked at presidential war powers in the Middle East, and, well, the global bond market flashed this historic systemic warning sign.
Yeah, and none of these are coincidences.
Right. They are symptoms of the exact same underlying condition. Welcome to the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, mainstream media news. On behalf of the Great Awakening Report, we are just so glad you're here. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the mainstream media featured news for the week of June 5, 2026.
And, you know, we are looking at a very specific stack of sources today. We're tracking critical developments across geopolitics, the economy, and just these massive societal shifts that have completely dominated the news cycle over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, but before we jump into the data, I mean, we need to take a second and just acknowledge the reality of your daily life right now. Because if you're feeling a profound sense of stress regarding, you know, not just U.S. politics, but the entire global landscape, you are definitely not alone.
Oh, absolutely not. The challenges of navigating daily life in a world that feels incredibly complex and, frankly, quite volatile are very real.
It is. It's exhausting to process this level of narrative shifting and just constant blaring alerts.
It absolutely is. And, well, the goal of this deep dive isn't to add to that noise. Because clarity doesn't come from doom scrolling, right? It comes from changing how we actually process the information we are given.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Our mission today is to take this enormous stack of mainstream headlines and use a specific framework to decode them, like putting puzzle pieces together.
Right. We're going to identify the signals, which are the individual events, then follow the threads connecting those events, and finally reveal the patterns.
The structural shifts happening right beneath the surface.
What's fascinating here is that when you apply this exact framework to the past 2 weeks of news, the single overarching theme emerges. We're calling it the Great Realignment.
The Great Realignment. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it's basically watching the global system transition away from a world defined by limitless expansion and supreme confidence into a world defined by adaptation, caution, and, well, strict risk management.
So we need to look at the geopolitical map because it's going through a massive recalibration right now. And to understand why, we really have to look at the physical limitations of the battlefield.
Right. And the clearest signal in our sources is happening with Ukraine and Russia. For the past few years, you know, the assumption was that Western resources were effectively infinite, both financial and military.
But the sources highlight a profound shift there.
They do. There's this quote that captures the new reality perfectly. It says, "As the battlefield reaches its limits, diplomacy emerges, not necessarily as a solution, but as the next phase of the struggle."
Which makes sense, because we are seeing direct and indirect peace overtures between Kyiv and Moscow, with the U.S. and European governments quietly applying diplomatic pressure for a negotiated settlement.
And we have to examine the mechanism forcing this shift. It's driven by what they call Western war fatigue. But, I mean, that phrase is a bit misleading.
How so?
Well, it's not just that people are tired of hearing about it. It's an actual industrial and financial bottleneck. The financial burden of supporting prolonged conflict is just colliding with domestic economic crises across North America and Europe.
Right. You have NATO members realizing they physically cannot manufacture artillery shells or replace depleted stockpiles fast enough, all while simultaneously dealing with their own inflation.
Exactly. Which brings us to the second major signal on the geopolitical board, and that's Iran and Washington.
Oh, yeah. The conflict with Iran has escalated from just a foreign policy debate into a massive constitutional clash inside Washington over presidential war powers.
Yeah. Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are heavily scrutinizing the scope of executive authority right now. They are actively pushing back against military engagements that rely on presidential discretion.
Without strict congressional oversight, right?
Yes. It's this profound bipartisan concern over the mechanics of escalation, specifically the fear of getting automatically entangled in an open-ended regional conflict through a chain reaction of small retaliations.
Wait, but I have to stop you there and push back a little. Are we really saying this push for peace in Ukraine and this sudden hesitation in Congress about Iran is purely about running out of money and weapons?
Basically, yes.
But what about the actual battlefield realities? Or, you know, the changing political sentiment of the European and American public? Like, are politicians suddenly having a moral awakening about peace? Or is this just forced pragmatism? Because it feels like a marathon runner realizing they don't have the energy for a sprint anymore and are forced to walk.
That marathon runner analogy is spot on. It is almost entirely forced pragmatism. I mean, the political sentiment is changing because the economic reality is finally hitting home.
Right.
Think about how a government operates on a global scale. Every time a new weapons package is approved or an aircraft carrier strike group is deployed, someone has to buy the government debt to fund it.
And the credit card is maxed out.
Exactly. The thread connecting Ukraine and Iran is the mathematical limit of strategic exhaustion. Governments are being forced to balance multiple massive security challenges while facing severe economic constraints. They're just hitting a brick wall.
So why does this matter to the listener? I mean, why should they care about the nuances of diplomatic pressure or war powers resolutions?
Because it signals a fundamental structural transition in how the world operates. We are moving away from a unipolar world where the primary goal was expansion.
And a what? A fragmented multipolar world?
Yes, exactly. Nations are desperately prioritizing risk management, securing their own supply chains, and energy independence over global intervention. The era of the blank check for overseas conflicts is ending because the underlying accounts are flashing zero.
Wow. And that leads us perfectly into the second major pattern.
Yeah.
Because there is a mathematical limit to this strategic exhaustion.
Yeah.
If you want to know why the funds for global intervention are drying up, you really have to look at the domestic structural stress.
You have to look at the economic engine and the reality at the border. Because whenever a system is overextended, the financial markets are the very first place the pressure valves start to pop.
And right now, the bond market is flashing a historic warning sign. We are seeing rising instability in global bond markets. And let's be clear about how this works, because it affects absolutely everyone.
Right. Bonds aren't just abstract Wall Street concepts.
No, they are the gravity of the entire financial system. When a government wants to spend money it doesn't have, it issues a bond. Investors buy that bond, expecting a certain interest rate in return.
But right now, investors are looking at the sheer volume of national debt, and they're demanding much higher interest rates to actually take on that risk.
And that rising yield acts as a wrecking ball through the rest of the economy, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When the cost of government borrowing spikes, it immediately forces up mortgage rates for the average citizen. It instantly chokes off corporate financing. Central banks are caught in a brutal trap.
Because they need to keep interest rates high to fight sticky inflation.
Yes, but those same high rates are crushing business growth and manufacturing, which completely changes the math for the tech sector.
Right, we're seeing a massive reassessment of artificial intelligence and tech valuations. For the last 2 years, I mean, the AI hype cycle just drove the markets.
But AI infrastructure requires billions of dollars in capital expenditure. Building data centers, buying chips, securing massive amounts of electricity.
And when money was cheap, investors didn't care about the immediate cost.
Exactly. But with bond yields high and borrowing costs soaring, well, Wall Street is suddenly asking for receipts. They are looking at these massive AI investments and asking, where is the actual tangible productivity gain that justifies this debt?
The mechanism of the market has shifted from blind faith in future tech to demanding immediate cash flow. Central banks are actively issuing warnings about the systemic risk of these overleveraged valuations.
But the economic fragility doesn't stop at the digital ledger. I mean, economic stress always manifests physically, and right now it is showing up at the borders.
It really is. The sources detail a massive expansion of immigration enforcement and these intense controversies over ICE detention facilities. And we are seeing unprecedented border security initiatives aimed at addressing extraordinary migration pressures.
But crucially, it's not just migration. It's the alarming expansion of cartel influence.
Right. These sophisticated networks of drug trafficking, human smuggling, and organized crime that are actively exploiting jurisdictional boundaries. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We need a way to understand how the bond market and the border are actually the exact same story.
Okay, let's hear it.
Think of a nation like a house. The economy is the foundation, and the borders are the doors. Right now, the foundation is rattling with bond market stress, and the doors are under immense pressure from migration and cartels.
That makes perfect sense.
Or think of a government state capacity like a computer's RAM, its working memory. Servicing massive national debt, fighting inflation, and managing geopolitical crises takes up about 80% of the system's memory.
Right. So when an unprecedented surge happens at the border, it's like trying to open a massive, complex new program when your memory is already completely tapped out. The system freezes.
Exactly. That is a highly accurate way to look at it. The border crisis isn't just a physical boundary issue. It's an administrative and operational bottleneck. You have local municipalities running out of budget for housing.
You have federal agencies clashing with state law enforcement over jurisdiction. The bureaucracy simply cannot process the data fast enough.
But let me ask you this. Look at the shaking foundation of the bond market, and look at the overloaded operating system at the border. Are the markets and the border actually signaling a permanent systemic failure? Or is this just a really painful but temporary hangover from the era of easy money and AI hype?
Well, the sources suggest we're dealing with something far deeper than a temporary hangover. The thread here is the concept of state sovereignty colliding with globalization. And neutrally speaking, just based purely on the mechanics outlined in the news, these border debates have morphed. They are no longer just regional policy disagreements about visa allocations. They are existential tests of state capacity.
Like, can a government maintain internal order?
Right. Can it manage public resources effectively while under extreme pressure? When the RAM is maxed out, the entire operating system is at risk of crashing.
And when the operating system starts freezing up, the users naturally start looking for the developers. They look to the institutions that built and managed the system.
Which brings us to the third major pattern in our deep dive today, the transparency crisis and the demand for institutional accountability.
Right now, those institutions are facing a credibility crisis that is, honestly, unprecedented in the modern era. When systems fail to deliver basic stability, the public stops giving them the benefit of the doubt.
They start demanding to see the underlying code.
Exactly. And the most glaring signal of this in the past 2 weeks is the expanding fallout from the Epstein files.
Oh, definitely. What started years ago as an investigation into the horrific crimes of one individual has fundamentally shifted. It has exploded into a sweeping structural examination of the institutions that enabled him.
We are seeing intense congressional scrutiny demanding transparency, not just about what he did, but about how he was allowed to do it.
There are fierce ongoing disputes right now between transparency advocates and the Department of Justice regarding document releases, redactions, and unsealed records.
And the mechanics of this dispute are crucial. On one side, institutions argue for standard operating procedures, victim protection, and legal obligations to maintain redactions.
But on the other side, you have a public that fundamentally no longer trusts the redaction process itself. They are demanding to know who is determining what gets blacked out.
And whether the classification system is being used for national security or simply for elite reputation laundering. The focus has entirely shifted onto the unequal application of justice.
It's exposing the very real mechanical relationship between immense wealth, political power, and legal protection. And if we follow that thread of transparency and government power, it leads us directly into the massive scrutiny currently aimed at the intelligence community.
Yes, we are seeing new intelligence leadership appointments being aggressively questioned by lawmakers and civil liberties advocates alike, because several massive surveillance authorities and intelligence gathering programs are approaching their legislative expiration dates.
And the reviews are intensifying. Supporters of these programs argue that bulk data collection and these specific surveillance tools are mathematically essential for combating terrorism and maintaining national security.
But the critics are pointing out specific documented instances where these programs have bypassed constitutional protections. They are sounding the alarm that these tools have expanded far beyond their original stated mandates,
creating unacceptable risks to privacy and democratic accountability. It's an intense debate happening right as public trust is sitting at an all-time low.
There are profound questions about the potential politicization of national security institutions, especially when those agencies intersect with domestic communications and cyber threats. Yeah. But I have a question about this, though, and I want to look at it purely from an analytical standpoint.
Sure, go ahead.
Are we actually experiencing a sudden spike in institutional corruption? Like, did the system suddenly get worse in the last 5 years? Or do we simply have the digital tools, the alternative media networks, and the public awareness to finally see the networks of influence that have literally always been there?
That is perhaps the most important question we can ask. The consensus from the data suggests it's the latter. The greatest power has always been the power that operates unseen.
Right.
But in an era of instantaneous, decentralized information, the unseen is becoming hyper-visible. Institutions that previously relied on a one-way broadcast of unquestioned authority are struggling to adapt to a society that demands receipts.
They are facing a populace that expects verifiable transparency, not just authoritative press releases.
Exactly. The tools of observation have simply outpaced the tools of obfuscation.
Which brings us to the final unifying pattern that ties every single one of these threads together. Let's look at the board. We have exhausted military alliances hitting industrial limits.
We have stressed bond markets suffocating capital.
We have an overloaded administrative state failing at the borders. And we have opaque intelligence and justice institutions facing a massive transparency crisis. You put all of that together, and the pattern is undeniable.
It is the severe systemic erosion of societal trust.
Yes, because trust isn't just a feeling. It is the functional mechanism upon which governments and economies operate.
Right. Fiat currency depends on trust. Supply chains depend on it. Elections depend on it. When trust in the mechanics of traditional systems declines, the friction in society increases exponentially.
And citizens begin searching elsewhere for answers and meaning. The signals of this erosion are everywhere. We are seeing deeply entrenched political polarization.
But it's beyond just disagreeing on tax policy. People are viewing fundamental events through entirely competing, irreconcilable realities.
Exactly. There are widespread, ongoing disputes over election integrity, government transparency, and the baseline credibility of public health and regulatory agencies.
And as a direct mechanical result of that friction, we are witnessing the massive growth of populist movements globally across the entire political spectrum.
Right. While these movements vary wildly in their proposed solutions, they share one common unifying premise. The existing legacy systems have become structurally disconnected from the needs of ordinary citizens.
The gap between the official government narrative and actual public perception has just become a chasm.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this right down to the ground, to you, the person listening to this right now. The very fact that you are tuning into this deep dive, the fact that you are engaging with the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, is proof of this exact structural shift.
You and millions of others are actively seeking out alternative media, independent researchers, and new frameworks for understanding the world.
Because the legacy systems have lost their monopoly on the truth. We connect this to the bigger picture. The core message from analyzing these sources is vital to understand.
Systems rarely fail in one giant cinematic explosion. They weaken slowly. They degrade through accumulated pressures that build up over time until they reach a tipping point.
And we are watching the accumulated pressure of geopolitical overextension, debt-based economic models, and institutional opacity reaching that exact tipping point.
The world is fundamentally transitioning from an era of expansion to an era of adaptation. The legacy systems are no longer trying to grow. They're just desperately trying to manage their own instability.
Geopolitical power isn't vanishing. It is actively being redistributed.
Yeah.
Economic models are being forced to accept physical constraints.
And most importantly, institutions are facing a public that understands the mechanisms of power better than ever before and will no longer accept "because we said so" as a valid answer.
As we wrap this up, we want to consciously tie everything together for you, the truth seekers. The goal of connecting these dots and explaining these mechanisms is absolutely not to leave you feeling overwhelmed, fearful, or hopeless about the news cycle.
It's actually the exact opposite. When you understand how the machine actually works, the daily headlines lose their power to panic you.
Precisely. By stepping into what our sources call the observer position, you neutralize the fear-based messaging that relies on confusion to keep populations reactive.
When you focus on the structural patterns, you know, the bond yields, the industrial capacity, the redaction mechanisms, rather than the chaotic personalities yelling on your screen, you reclaim your sovereignty.
You realize that you aren't just a passive victim of random global events. You are an active, informed witness to a massive historical transition.
And this raises an important question, a final thought for you to mull over long after this deep dive ends. If the old legacy systems, the centralized institutions, the debt-based financial structures, the traditional media gatekeepers are fundamentally fracturing under the weight of their own opacity and overexpansion, what comes next?
That is the question.
Right. What new decentralized systems of verifiable trust, local community, and individual sovereignty will you, the citizens, have to build from scratch to replace them? Because nature abhors a vacuum. As the old operating system fails, a new one must be coded.
That is a perfect thought to leave on. The pieces of the puzzle are on the table, and now you understand the mechanisms connecting them. The architecture of the old systems might be shaking, but that just means it's time to start drawing the blueprints for the new ones. Stay aware, stay balanced, and continue looking beyond the surface narrative.